So over the last few weeks, we've been hearing the story of Esther. Esther is a small book in roughly in the middle of the Bible, and it's a story of the Jews in exile and a plot against them and how God found a wonderful solution to the difficulties that his people found themselves in. And we've heard over the last few weeks about some key characters. We've heard about King Xerxes, who was a very powerful, very big-headed, very arrogant man who thought that he could make the world work as he wanted it to because he was so rich and powerful. We've heard about his first wife, Vashti, who, when the king was having an enormous banquet and asked her to come and show off how beautiful she was, didn't want to and said no. And so the king, in a rage, decided that he needed a new king, a new queen. And so he looked out for a new queen, and his advisors said, get all the most beautiful girls in the land, bring them to your palace, sleep with them each for a night and see which one you fancy most. It's a fairly appalling story, and he wasn't a very nice man. So that's where we started, and Esther was one of these girls. She was a Jewish girl who'd been orphaned and was looked after by her cousin. Her cousin, Mordecai, decided that it would be safer for her in the palace as part of this harem than anywhere else. And so he put her forward, and she was the one who the king fell in love with, and he made her his queen. But she never told him that she was Jewish. She kept her background secret. So we've heard about the king, we've heard about Esther, who became his new queen, and Mordecai, who was her cousin. There's another really unpleasant character in this story, and he's called Haman. And he's one of the king's advisors, and he hates the Jewish people. It's a thing that goes way back in history, why he hated them so much, but he hates them. And he persuades the king that Mordecai offends him, actually. He offends him because he won't bow down to Haman when the king says everyone should. And so Mordecai won't bow down. Haman decides he's going to take revenge on all the Jewish people. And he sets up this plan that they're all going to be slaughtered on a particular day later in the same year. Right, with me so far? So I think last week where we got to was that Mordecai said to Esther, Esther, you need to talk to King Xerxes. He loves you. You're his queen. He'll listen to you if you persuade him not to kill us all. And Esther is slightly perturbed by this, but she says, all right, okay, I want the rest of you to fast for me. Now, in this book, it never actually mentions God, but I think what she was saying was, I want the rest of you to pray. Before I talk to the king, I need to know that you're praying for me. And so that's what happens. Now, she hasn't done anything else yet, but Mordecai, when he was sitting at the king's gate, heard about another plot against him and sent word through Esther a little while before this to say, you need to watch out for these two men. And it was written down in the book, and then the king forgot all about it. That brings us to where we are today. He's having a sleepless night. That night, the king couldn't sleep, so he ordered the book of the Chronicles, the record of his reign, to be brought in and read to him. It was found recorded there that Mordecai had exposed Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's officers who guarded the doorway, who'd conspired to assassinate King Xerxes. What honor and recognition has Mordecai received for this? The king asked. Nothing's been done for him, his attendants answered. The king said, who is in the court? Now Haman had just entered the outer court of the palace to speak to the king about impaling Mordecai on the pole he'd set up for him. His attendants answered, Haman is standing in the court. Bring him in, the king ordered. When Haman entered, the king asked him, what should be done for the man the king delights to honor? Now Haman thought to himself, who is there that the king would rather honor than me? So he answered the king, for the man the king delights to honor, have them bring a royal robe the king has worn and a horse the king has ridden, one with a royal crest placed on his head. Then let the robe and horse be entrusted to one of the king's most noble princes. Let them robe the man the king delights to honor and lead him on the horse through the city streets, proclaiming before him, this is what is done for the man the king delights to honor. Go at once, the king commanded Haman. Get the robe and the horse and do just as you suggested for Mordecai the Jew, who sits at the king's gate. Do not neglect anything you have recommended. So Haman got the robe and the horse. He robed Mordecai and led him on horseback through the city streets, proclaiming before him, this is what is done for the man the king delights to honor. Can you imagine how cross Haman was about that? I think that this story tells us a lot about light and darkness. The king couldn't sleep. Looking back over those past events, he notices stuff that he hadn't seen before. Mordecai's service to him in revealing the plot that hasn't been rewarded. I wonder whether we sometimes take enough time to stop and to look back over our days, noticing the things for which we should be thankful. I don't know about you, I find it's easier to not sleep and think about the things for which I'm not particularly thankful, the things that worry me. But it's good to stop and give thanks. In our story, God's timing is evident. Because Haman is in the palace at exactly the right time. He's come to get Mordecai killed, but instead God uses him to have Mordecai honored, and his plot completely backfires. That made me wonder whether we sometimes have different standards when it comes to other people and ourselves. I know that I can be very judgmental of other people when I think they're driving badly. If they swap lanes in front of me in the middle of Reigate, when I've been waiting in the queue for a very long time, then I'm usually hoping I'm not wearing my dog collar as I pull a face. But then on other occasions, I'm in a bit of a hurry to get home. And I know that if I go on the right-hand side and I go through, there's a long queue. And actually, I'm not really getting in anyone else's way if I just nip back in, am I? And we can sometimes treat other people differently. We can use different judgments. But I wonder whether if we know what we would like, we should think a little more about doing that for other people. I wonder if there's somebody this week you might be able to surprise by recognizing something good they've done. I've got a postcard on my fridge at home. I've got quite a lot of postcards on the fridge, but one of them says, when someone does something wrong, don't forget all the things they did right. When someone does something wrong, don't forget all the things they did right. Let's try and catch other people doing things right. Let's try and do for others what we'd like them to do for us this week. So our story carries on. The next bit in the Bible is from Esther chapter 7. Queen Esther has decided to throw a banquet, and she's asked the king to come, and she's asked Haman to come as well. And she's picked her moment. So the king and Haman went to Queen Esther's banquet. And as they were drinking wine on the second day, the king again asked, Queen Esther, what is your petition? It will be given you. What is your request? even up to half the kingdom, it will be granted. Then Queen Esther answered, if I have found favor with you, your majesty, and if it pleases you, grant me my life. This is my petition, and spare my people. This is my request. For I and my people have been sold to be destroyed, killed, and annihilated. If we had merely been sold as male and female slaves, I would have kept quiet, because no such distress would justify disturbing the king. King Xerxes asked Queen Esther, who is he? Where is he, the man who's dared to do such a thing? Esther said, an adversary and enemy, this vile Haman. Then Haman was terrified before the king and the queen. Now, this is a U-rated sermon, not a 15 or an 18. And so we've stopped the reading at that point. If you'd like to know what happens to Haman, you might remember what he had planned for Mordecai. You can find it in Esther chapter 7. Darkness and light again. The king doesn't know before this point that Esther is a Jew, and actually he doesn't know that it's the Jewish people who he has been persuaded to sign this edict for, saying they're going to be wiped out. He just knows that it's a group of people who Haman has told him have gone against him. Esther has concealed her heritage at her cousin Mordecai's instruction. So now, as she brings this fact to light, King Xerxes is surprised. And his preconceptions are challenged because he's already come to love and admire Esther. Esther takes a huge risk on behalf of her people. She's willing to put herself in danger by identifying with them, despite the king's reputation and power. She's quietly faithful until the moment she knows she needs to stand up and be counted. So I wondered whether we are willing to stand up and be counted when the time comes. Esther was selfless, whereas Haman was totally selfish. Haman was out for whatever he could get, but Esther was ready to risk everything for the people that she loved. Today, as we have baptized Phoebe and Amelia, we've welcomed them into our family, into our community as a church. And sometimes as a community, we need to stand up and be counted. We don't need to do things that make other people miserable. We don't need to obliterate people who disagree with us. But sometimes we do just need to say, I'm a Christian. I can't do that. I can't cheat. I can't steal something that doesn't belong to me. I can't engage in gossip about other people. I won't spread rumors. I will stand up and live in the light. Perhaps this week there will be a time for us to stand up and be counted. Perhaps at school. Oh no, it won't be at school, will it? You've all broken up for the Easter holidays. How marvelous. You've got 2 weeks to think about this then before you need to go back again. But sometimes when people are unkind to other people, it's right that we stand up and go, that's not fair. That's not right. Making ourselves feel better by making someone else feel worse is never kind. Sometimes we just need to stand up and be kind. Perhaps at work, in the office, perhaps at a sports club, wherever it is that we spend our time, we just need to be ready to stop and think before we act. And think, if Jesus was standing here next to me, would I still be saying this or doing this? Or is there a better way?